I want to talk about a little bit this morning. I'm going to talk about the F word, not what you think. We're going to get into it here in a little bit. Don't fall out of your seats. And I want to talk about the if word this morning as well to go along with it. And I'll be talking about both those. But if you want to turn to Isaiah, the 7th chapter, 9th verse, and we'll here in just a minute, I'll have you stand. As Rodney has said there a little bit now, most of you well know, and I'm going to be just blunt with you, this virus is not going away anytime soon. You understand that? It's not going away anytime soon. It's the elephant in the room sometimes maybe we don't want to talk about, but it is not going to go away anytime soon. It's just the way that it is. And I've got my opinions on why it's not going away, and I'll just tell you one of those is because I don't think the devil wants it to go away right now because he knows that if he can do it, he'll shut churches down again. Am I right? We know that. We absolutely do know that because that would be his intention. That would be, oh, there's a church down in Greenbrier County. I think there's 17 or 19 of them that come away with it. No one knows why, where it came from just yet. I dig into that kind of stuff because I want to find out. I want to be as much informed as I can, but nobody knows yet what that's about. So it's not like it's going away, but brothers and sisters, you know, I think about this whenever when you've done all that you can do, the Bible says to do what? Stand. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. You know, I'm not some bullhead up here that's going to say, well, this is going to be this no matter what. I don't say stuff like that because I know better than that. God is in control of this thing. He always has been and he always will be. So with just that in mind, let's remember this. And I like Psalms 91 before I get there. I'm just going to read this. You don't have to stand for this, but Psalms 91 is one of the best scriptures for this day and age right now that we're going through. If you want to mark it, if you want to read it, it says this, "And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor in the destruction that wasteth in the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragons thou shalt trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, I want you to understand something. I'm going to be preaching on something this morning. I'm going to be preaching on faith. That's the F word I'm going to be talking about. But also, I want to talk to you this morning about the if word that's associated with faith. And so we're going to go over all that this morning. If you would, let's stand and read. Let's read Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 9. "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliath's son." This is the part I want you to get. "If ye will not believe," now remember there's the if word right there, "surely ye shall not be established." I want to read that last part again. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you this morning for your love and for your mercy. I want to thank you, Father, for us being able to gather here just one more time, Lord. I praise you for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, to be with all those, Lord. There are those out in the cars, those that may be listening to it, Lord, down somewhere down the road, Lord, with this message. I pray, Father, that you would bless them, Lord. Open up hearts and minds, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to see. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Doesn't it make you thankful that we're able to gather in God's house one more Sunday? I mean, there for a while. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for everybody that I see in here this morning. Praise God for every one of you. And we should be thanking God for the opportunity to be in His house one more Sunday. Absolutely, we should be. We just come out of a stretcher. We weren't in this church for a while. It doesn't mean that we weren't having church, but we weren't gathered together like we are right now. And I thank God for that, and I praise Him for that. In the Bible, there are many times where we see the word faith. If you look in the Bible, if you find the word faith, you're going to find the word if beside of it. You're going to find it. Look and see if I'm not telling you right. I want to talk to you about these words this morning. The words I want to talk to you. The Bible makes assumptions. The Bible makes assumptions. Now, to get this, that you and I are always going to put our faith in God. Do you know the Bible makes that assumption? That you and I are always going to put our faith in God? In all reality, we should be. We should do it. But let me ask you a heartfelt question this morning. How many of you do it on every little thing in your life? This preacher can stand up here without hesitation and tell you there have been times in my life I have not put my faith in God every time. The Bible makes that assumption. The Bible actually tells us that we should put our faith in God every time. And there are honestly, there have been times that you've experienced the same thing in your life. I know you have. There are times we put our faith in other things. We put our faith in our intellect. We'll put our faith in our physical strength at times. We'll put our faith in our academic accomplishments. We'll put our faith in our financial resources. A few years back, before the crash in 2000, 2008, 2009, that time frame there, I believe is when that happened. How many people had 401ks that they put their hope and trust and faith in just to see those things go down to almost nothing? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we put our faith in that stuff. You see, people can put their faith and trust in a lot of different things. That's why I got the word if there is beside of faith sometimes. I have a quiz for you this morning. For everybody in here, you don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to honestly think about this. God had given me this, and I praise Him for this, but this can tell you where your faith is actually at. If I were to ask you this morning to put your faith in what you put your faith in, what would you tell me that you put your faith in this morning? Just, you can answer out loud. You'd say Jesus, because we're here in church, right? We put our faith in Jesus. You'd probably say Jesus because we are in a church environment where you say it. But if you was to answer me honestly, and I want you to think about this, think hard about this. If somebody, do you put your faith in somebody or a job or some finances? If they were taken away, what would you do? Where's your faith at? You see what I'm saying? If I was to ask any of you in here this morning, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. You get what I'm saying? Not a thing wrong with any of them. But if I was to talk to you and ask you, what are you putting your faith in this morning? Would any of these things bring anxiety to your life if they were taken away from you? I'm going to ask you. I'm being honest with you this morning. If any of those things, what if you couldn't work no more? What if your health was taken away from you? What if your spouse just died right now? Lord forbid. What kind of, just think of where your faith is at. That's what I'm asking you this morning. That's the quiz I'm wanting to ask you. Listen, would any of these things bring anxiety to you if you were to be without them? Fill in the blank. Fill it in. Then tell me again. Then answer to me again. What are you putting your faith in? What are you putting your faith in? You can identify something or someone that stands out to you. Quite possibly, something or someone you put that trust in, you rely upon, you count on. God started dealing with me this week about this. Because I put a lot of trust and faith, and I put a lot of hope in her doing some stuff for me. What if she wasn't here? What if she wasn't here? Am I putting my hope and my trust in her being there to do things for me? Yes, I am. And if you're honest, some of you are as well. But is that right? Having faith is taking the place we should have in God. Having faith in some individual, having faith in something, is taking place of what faith we should be putting in God in our trust in Him. Here's a challenge you and I like face. Here is that challenge. What you can't do without is that relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is absolutely the only thing that you and I can't do without. God needs to be the one that you can't live without. He needs to be the thing that you can't live without. Do you get my point here this morning? Do you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? Sometimes we say one thing, but is our heart really where it should be? The if. God's been showing me this, to study this for a while. I love Matthew 6:26-34. And I'm going to read that whole section right there, because this is what Jesus laid it out to the people back in that time. And that still fits to everybody here today. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now I want to ask you an honest question. Are you not better than birds this morning, the fowls of the air? In God's eyes, the Bible says that you are. And He feeds them. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Have you ever seen the flowers, especially this time of year, how beautiful the flowers are? Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? After all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of in all these things. But seek ye first. This, I'm talking to you about faith in God. And then Jesus goes on to say, you need to have faith in me. But he says, if. It doesn't say it there, but that's what it's meaning. If. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And we know what evil in this day and age we live in looks like. You don't have to look much to see. The Bible encourages us in all things to put our trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. All things we are to put our trust and our hope in Him. Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible to you. It says, because of your, it says, surely, if you have faith. If. That's hard. That's hard. But there are times I don't feel like I have much faith at all. How about you? A mustard seed's not very big. It's not very much faith. And there are times, there are mountains in my life, Ron, that sometimes it seems like they're so hard to move whenever I can't even muster up the faith of a mustard seed. If you have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, it says. There's that word, if again. And it goes right along with the faith that we should have in the God that we serve. Why is that? Because God knows us as human beings. He knows us. And He's trying to tell us through His Word that if you do this, this is possible. There are those times in our lives we don't have that faith to believe what God can do and cannot do. If there were, that is where we need to say. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's where we need to get on our knees. We need to be asking God, God, increase the faith. Increase my faith. Show me how to increase my faith. The Bible shows us how to do that. I'll get it out here a little bit later. The Bible talks about different types of faith. I just want to cut. It talks about increasing our faith. It talks about great faith over in Luke 7, 9. You remember the centurion? And it said that he came to Jesus, he just sent him to him and said, I got a servant that's sick. He's been a really good servant. He said, oh, I need you to, Jesus, if you would, please come and heal him. Well, if Jesus starts that way, he meets him and he tells him, well, you don't even have to come there, Lord, because I'm not worthy of it. But if you just say the word, if you just say it, then he said he'll be healed. Then Jesus heard these things, he marveled and said, and he turned to him and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. There's great faith. Oh yeah. There's people that seemed like I've known in my life that have had great faith. It talks about little faith too. Patty, you can put me in that category once in a while right there. Little faith. Matthew 8, when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he's saying to them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? I've been there. I've been there recently. Why are you so fearful, Dave? He said, I'm here. I give you my word. I tell you what I can and can't do. He said, I can do all things. Believe in me. He called him little. Every person has been given, do you know that? A measure of faith. Do you realize that? Every Christian in here has been given a measure of faith. Romans 12, 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There's a measure of faith to save you. You got to have that measure of faith, and then ever touch that. Every one of us has a measure of faith in us. We are either going to feed it. I'm here to tell you, we are either going to feed that faith or we're going to starve it to death, Sean. And if you're starving the faith that God, that measure God has given you, it is not going to grow. It won't grow much, if any at all. Everyone has been given a measure of faith. Everybody. And it's up to you to feed it. It's up to you to trust God, His Word. It's up to each of us to grow stronger through the faith, that measure of faith that God has given every one of us. Now, can I tell you, there's risk involved in having faith. Can you say amen? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? There's risk involved in having faith. Preacher, I do mean there's risk involved if you're going to step out on faith. Faith is something that is expressed through our actions. There are times that the faith that we have is expressed through our actions. Faith is something, Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've all heard that scripture. We've heard it from the time. What's it telling us? It's telling us, Mark is telling us this. I'm believing even though I can't see it. I'm believing it, God, because you are God, because I'm stepping out on that faith. And sometimes when you do that, you're going to fall flat on your face. The only definition, do you know Hebrews 11, 1 is the only definition of faith in the Bible? Did you know that? That's the only definition. There's other parts that show you about faith, but that's the only definition of faith in the Bible. It tells us that faith is a firm possession. An expectation God will come through for the believers through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's telling us. One translation says it like this. Now, faith is the assurance. It's the title. It's the deed. It's the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehended as facts that cannot be experienced by physical senses, Jamie. It can't be. We look at things through natural eyes, and through natural eyes, nothing's possible. But with God, all things are possible. See, the risk involved in faith is just like gravity. If I tripped, I'm going to fall down these steps because of the law of gravity. I'm going to fall down these steps. Yet I still believe in gravity. Amen? Faith is that. I'm going to fall once in a while. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to step out sometimes. And God's going to bring me back in. But that doesn't mean I don't get back up, because faith is as real as gravity. Because you see it, and it impacts things in your life. Absolutely so. Absolutely. So you that believe, should kind of say, who believes? It really matters to us. In Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The first thing that brings faith, reality into our lives is we've got to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Romans 10:9 says it right there. That if, there's that word again. It goes right along with that faith. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and this is the most important part, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. You do realize the devils believe. They're not saved. You know that, don't you? So it's more than just belief. It's got to go deeper than that. It's a heartfelt belief. It's knowing with faith assurance that Jesus Christ is going to save your soul. That's what that kind of belief means. The if word. It said, if thou shalt confess. Let's get something established right now. And I say this a lot. Right now, our Christianity is based on one thing only, and that is the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work of the cross. That is what our salvation is based on. The only Son of God. It's not the name of the church. It's not the shaking the preacher's hand. It's not how much money you give and tithes. It's not how many times you testify. It's about persuaded that Jesus Christ saved your soul. If you believe Jesus is, if you believe Jesus Christ is who He said He is, and you're saved, your faith will increase, and you'll want to increase, and you'll want to increase it. We must also believe the Bible is inerrant. I'm just here to tell you that you cannot half-heartedly believe the Word of God and grow in faith. It ain't going to happen. Excuse my English. It's not going to happen. Also, if we believe Jesus, listen, it's not just a history book. Can I say that? This has got a lot of history, but it's not, and I love history, but this is not a history book. It's not just some reflection of antiquity. It's not nothing like that. We must believe that it is God's Word and that it is inerrant God's Word, telling us how we should live, telling us, you know, how to get to know Him better. That's what the Word of God is here for each and every one of us for. And I believe that our faith will grow. Our faith will grow. Yes, the Bible is hard to understand at times. I'll be the first to admit that. If you're a young Christian, the Bible is hard to understand. But let me ask you a simple question. Do you understand everything about your car? Does it stop you from driving it? Absolutely not. Do you know in the average car, there's 30,000 parts in the average car? How many of you know everything about every one of them? I don't see no hands. I know Sean's closest. But I guarantee you, if Sean doesn't know anything, He searches and tries to find it. If you don't understand the Word of God, don't just lay it down and not have anything to do with it. Search and try to find out what God's trying to tell you. We need to be doing some things with the Word of God to increase our faith. I have found in my life, the Bible is living, breathing entity. I have found that in my life. It is not just a book. People try to say, well, that's the book of the Bible. No, it isn't. That's the living Word of God. It's not a book. That's why it's important. And the young people I give the Bibles to today, I honestly mean that. That is the most important thing that you can take with you. Because we know that they will try to change your minds, and they know that they will try to do all manner of things with you. But the Word of God will keep you on track. It is, I believe it, the more that I get into it, the more that I believe it, the more God shows. How about with you? And he said in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by what? By hearing. And what? By hearing the Word of God. Your faith will increase. You just don't read your Bibles on Sunday and say that is enough. Because it is not. If you want your faith to increase, you grab God's Word and you get into it as much as possible. Everything you and I deal with in our Christian walk revolves around our faith walk. Don't fall out of your seats just yet. Everything that we go through revolves around our faith. Now, you know, I'm not saying because you're going through troubles that you don't have any faith. I'm not saying that. I would never say that. That's not what I'm saying. But can I tell you this? What faith will affect is how you go through what you're going through. Amen? It'll affect what you're going through. Yes, it will. Rather, the strength of your faith is what will get you through it. That's what gets us through things. I want to stop. Come and get a song, Belinda. I'm going to stop right here where I'm at this morning. I would like to continue this topic maybe this evening. I'm going to go into what I think on faith this evening as they come and get a song. But can I tell you something? That if, along with faith, that's there for a reason. If you do this, this is what can happen. If this. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for us to understand what God is trying to get out into us. Trying to see what he wants us to see. But I would like this evening to try to go into the second part of this, if I could, tonight. If you get a song. If you have a need this morning, please come. Please. I'm asking you. If you don't have to be lost to come to this altar. I've said this numerous times. If you're having an issue, if you want to just come up here and pray, come up and do that this morning. This altar is open.